Well, this morning I want to share with y'all something that's been on my heart for a little while. And I had changed some things to make it go a little longer. Because the last time I shared it only took 20 minutes. So I have to go a little further. But before we get started with it, I want to actually show y'all a video that is a little different from what we're used to. But it really and truly goes with what I'm going to be talking about. It's a group called Cats and Crowns. I'm sure most of you heard of them.
Amen.
And the song is called Slow Fade. So it's more importantly to me that you pay attention to the words of what's being sung, but the visual of the picture, it goes along with it. And throughout our message, I'll be sharing to pinpoint some of those things.
Say,
Where are you going?
I gotta go on a business trip.
Do you have to?
Well, maybe they can do without me this time.
Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And be careful, little lips, what you say. Let's pray. Father, once again, I just thank you for this opportunity. I'll ask that the words will be spoken. Will be your words and not mine. I thank you once again for this opportunity, Father, and to see what you have to say through this message. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
Now, I bet you heard that and thought, man, that's some good advice for kids or teenagers. And guess what? You're right. It is. But most of the time, children can't control what they see.
Or,
so on now. Or, they can't control where they go. But, do we see, or can we see, that this video actually pertains more to us?
Amen.
Look at where the focus is. Yes, there are kids in the video. But that's not where the focus is. It doesn't focus on just the kids. They're a part of it.
Amen.
In fact, there's a verse in it that says, be careful, little feet, where you go, for it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow.
Amen.
So every one of us is God's children.
That's right.
So to me, the first set of feet are mentioned is ours.
Right.
And we have little feet behind us that watches us. And it's not necessarily meant just your kids, because people watch us all the time. People watch us whatever we do or wherever we go.
True.
So, like I said, I really truly believe that they're speaking to us.
Amen.
So now I'm going to explain why in detail.
Cool. Bring it on, man.
The choices that we make are our own. The things we watch is up to us. The games we play is our responsibility.
That's true.
The music we choose is us. The things we texting, the things we putting on Facebook, that's all up to us.
That's right.
It's all up to us. We have control or the free will to choose whatever we want to do. With this being said, everything we do have consequences.
That's right.
Now, I showed y'all this video so we can get a visual idea. Not a visual idea of what we see happening to somebody else, but a visual idea of things that we see that happens to us.
Amen.
And it's not just the actual specific situation that they're talking about that I'm referring to, although it's a point of origin or it's a point of interest. The things that happens to us have consequences, and we usually don't see the outcome. We don't see it coming until it's here.
Amen.
And then we're looking back and try to say, where did this go? How did it get here? How did we get to where we at? So the fact of the matter is, our actions have results. Not usually the results we want.
Amen.
But it has results.
That's true.
Now, like I said, the video only concentrates on pretty much a couple of different things. But what I'm going to share with y'all this morning, we're going to see how this actual video will apply to almost anything in our lives.
Amen.
Now, I know it's not up there anymore because I keep pointing back to it. But remember, did you notice on how the video was shown in reverse?
Yeah.
The majority of videos are shown in reverse. Why do you think that is? I'm glad you asked. My belief is for us, the viewers, to see how the result of something and where it started and how it could have been avoided.
Amen.
Usually we see the end of something, we're like, how did we get here? Well, this incident, they're showing it to us backwards so we can see where it actually started on how something small just got into us and we wasn't aware of it.
Amen.
So, the argument that we witness is about a desire or a need, as the gentleman said, which was, he was calling it what, a business trip?
Mm-hmm.
And we could tell it wasn't a business trip, or at least not that kind of business.
Amen. Multi-business.
There was some kind of business, but it wasn't what he was trying to pretend it was.
Amen.
So keep in mind that usually the person who falls affects more than just him or her.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be exactly what we saw, the actual incident, but just as an open mind, things we do, our choices, affects more than just us. Although a lot of times we think, oh, it's just going to affect me, it don't matter. But that's not true.
That's true.
We might not see it today, but usually down the road, we're going to see something and then we're like, how did that happen?
Amen.
Well, this is a way to backtrack and kind of see how something got started without our knowledge. Whatever we're involved in, whether it's good or bad, it has consequences, it has results. The things we sow are good, the things that are bad we sow. Either way, it has results. So, this is going to bring me to a different question, an unusual question to y'all. What is a preservative? I'm glad you asked that too. I know you want to know, what does a preservative have to do with this video? Well, I'm going to explain it. A preservative is a substance that is added to products such as food, pharmaceuticals, paint, biological samples, or wood, or pretty much anything has something to add to it. Because what it does, it helps prevent something from decomposing or getting bacteria in it or something of the sort. So in short terms, it allows things to last longer. Now we see them in a lot of things. We don't notice them in everything, but the biggest thing that we notice them is they're in food, right?
Right.
And salt is one of the biggest ones. Now, we usually see salt as a seasoning. And yeah, it does add flavor. But the reality of it, it's a preservative. It allows things to last longer. I know, I think just last year when we went to camp, I think Tony bought some box salt. And we put it on the ice. Because it always melted so fast, and we're always having to go back to Walmart and buy more ice. And we poured some of this rock salt on it, and I didn't have to make as many trips.
Amen.
It actually made it stronger. Like, the ice stayed harder. Now, it was hard to get some drinks out sometimes because it was so much blocked, but it stayed colder longer.
Amen.
So it can be used for a whole lot of different things than what we actually see. Excuse me. So, take this. Now, I know y'all know this is what I do, so it's like, wow, really? But just for instance, take this bag of chips. From where you're sitting, this looks really cool, right? It's beautiful. Makes you hungry even. And I turn around. You don't see anything wrong with this bag, do you? Unless it was barbecue and that's what you'd rather, but that's not what I mean. But yeah. But just in general, we can't see anything wrong with it. But what I didn't notice earlier, say before I would have bought it, like, yeah, I bought it, right? Is on the bottom here, there's a hole. And what that did is allow air to get inside of this bag. So what did that do? It allowed something to get inside that did not belong. So, which brings up a question that somebody would ask. How does a bag of chips get stale? Just for instance, just on a schooling note, I'm sure you would all know, but moisture is a culprit of stale chips.
Amen.
Moisture, yes. Moisture. When chips are made, they're fried and all the moisture is taken out of it, and then they're sealed in a bag. But when we open a bag, wherever we're at, the air wherever we're at is allowed inside of it, and it takes the place of what's ever in there, and then all the air out of that all that moisture out of that air is sucked into a chip. The longer it stays open, the more moisture is sucked into the chip, which makes it soft. To us, we see it as stale, but in reality, it's just losing the crispness of it. So, we have stale chip. And I know now you're thinking, well, it comes with air in it. And true, it does.
Dry.
But in the factory that they're made, it's a controlled environment. So only, I don't want to say certain kinds of air, because that would be really weird. But it's in a controlled environment, so only a certain temperature is allowed when the bag is sealed. Therefore, it's being able to last as long as the dates are pre-put on the bags. Which, guess what, is a sign of a preservative. Because the environment that is inside that bag is preserved due to the outside. Nothing gets in it that's not supposed to be. When something gets in it that is not supposed to be, it hinders it. The preservative in a bag loses control or to be able to withstand the actual job that it was done beforehand. Now I know you all, why is this important in this lesson? So, guess what?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you.
Amen. Bring it on.
Now, as long as the bag is sealed, and that's just this bag, any of them, as long as it is sealed, nothing is allowed in it that doesn't belong. I know I've said that. Whether it's a big tear or a small tear, it doesn't matter. The preservative has less control. So, that brings me to, yes, my scripture, the first scripture. Chapter John, chapter 10, verse 10. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest." So now we know what, in a sense, what a preservative does, it protects. Well, Jesus is telling us what the thief comes to do. It comes to destroy something. What does a preservative do? It helps prevent something from being destroyed. See the commonplace? Check that out, huh? Well, my Bible tells us that God is our preservative. The purpose of a preservative is to protect. In Psalms 121, verses 7 and 8, I read both versions of King James and the NIV so you can understand how I got this the way it was up. In the King James Version, it says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and coming in from this time and forevermore." In the New IV, it says, "The Lord will keep us from harm. He will watch over our life. The Lord will watch over us coming and going now and forever." Saying the same thing, but using a different terminology. And I wanted to keep it in the King James Version so you could see that word, preserve. Because what is he saying he's doing? He's preserving us. Now, I refer back to the video because it showed different temptations from all kind of different avenues. But as we see the result from could be all the different things that went on after, could be from what we saw at the end of the video, which was actually in the beginning, if that makes sense. All the things that happened with the teenager having trouble with becoming an alcoholic and drinking, and the little girl being destroyed, all these things was related back. And when you related back, is God coming in and wanting to destroy. Our preservative, no, that's not right, huh? God wanted to protect us, and Satan coming in and destroying what we are allowing. Not necessarily what we allow on purpose, because as you see in this bag, we may not even see that open hole. We may buy that bag, bring it home, open it, and it's like nasty. We couldn't figure out why. It came all nice and sealed. But that's not always the case.
Amen.
So the family was destroyed by choices. Now, do you know that there's a lot of famous singers out there that started out in a church? I bet you would, if you probably interviewed most all of them, they would always say that they probably started out in a small worship group or a gospel or anything of that sort. But what happened is the world sneaked in and it changed their vision. It changed their focus of the desire of wanting to sing. Because if you want to sing, you can sing, go outside on the street and sing.
Amen.
But the publicity, the fame, the fortune, or whatever it is that took place in these people's minds, changed it. Like, say, this show American Idol just went off. And I watched a lot of the different people that started. They always had a background story of, yeah, I used to sing in church all the time, but now I want to be big. What? Because I want to sing for a living. Well, there's a lot of Christian artists out there that sing for a living. And maybe it's what, or they're not as popular as some of these other ones because of what? Money. What else? What else could it actually be? The fame, the fortune. Because if you actually, I know this is side, but if you actually look back and listen to some of their stories, most of them are miserable.
Yeah.
They're rich and miserable. The ones that's more happier and more content is the ones that actually kept their focus of who they are and what God-given gift was given to them, and they wanted to keep it.
Amen.
So, and they become different people, not just once they become and get rich off of that. It changes who they are.
Yeah.
It changes their outlook on life.
Yeah.
It changes everything about them. So what we have to do is we have to guard ourselves, preserve our hearts with the Word of God. I did a lesson a couple years back at ATC. It was a place I used to teach at on Friday nights. And the title of it was called Guardrails. And y'all know what guardrails, right? Do you see them on the side of roads? And you all know that. But the purpose was, it was I was explaining to Tim that we have to put boundaries in our lives so we don't get sidetracked and go off the road.
Amen.
But the funny thing about, or the secret to that, is we have to put those boundaries before we're traveling on that road.
Amen.
Because if we're traveling on that road without it, we tend to veer off.
That's right.
Because whatever the reason is we have to know where we're willing to go or where we're not willing to go before our situation or that situation gets to us. Because God tells us we will go through things.
Amen.
So we need to prepare ourselves, prepare our hearts, prepare our boundaries of when that happens. What are we not willing to cross? But what our problem, not just us here, but just in general, what our problem is we like to ride so close to that guardrail, we forget what side we're supposed to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Scary, huh? But it's true. Things will happen to us. it's just a matter of time. Another way I want to share with you is, for instance, how something can get off track is, you know, anyone's taken an airplane before, right? You know that pilots are not just driving them with steering wheels like and going from there. There's navigation that they use. They have to key in certain coordinates of their destinations from where they're leaving and where, and it gives them time, place, and all that kind of stuff. But if they key in one degree, one number off, it could take them on a different path.
Amen.
Completely. They could wind up over a field in a different state, over water, and trying to land with just over water. It's not good. So the importance of them punching in the right keys to get them exactly where they need to go, they have to be careful. Another one I could tell you for sure is from my own personal thing is, most of you know we have been going to Georgia for the past 6-7 years. So I've made this trip 6 or 7 times. And one of the times we was coming back, I think this was the time that Melissa drove and she followed us the first time. And we started bringing a trailer because we started bringing more things and more people was coming. So it was good. But when we were leaving, Stone Mountain and going, headed back home, there's a part of the interstate that kind of like veers off. One goes to the left and one goes to the right. The interstate stays going to the right, but it goes straight to the left. Kind of like if around here, like if you ever travel on I-10, where around in New Orleans, a CBD, if you don't stay on the right-hand lane, you go into, stay on the left lane, you go over the Greater New Orleans Bridge, and then you're just on a two-lane road.
Right.
Well, that's what I did. I was on a 6-lane interstate, traveling. I was going to town, happy, ready to go back and everything, and I'm just looking around, and 6 lanes turns to 4 lanes. I said, this don't look right. And before I know, we're on a 2-lane road. I'm like, I know this ain't the interstate. I don't know how I did it because I didn't turn. But then I realized when it veered off, they had an 18-wheeler right on the side. I mean, I couldn't get over. I couldn't do nothing. So I just had to stay where I was at. Well, we went over and passed the signs at the same time, so I never saw, get on this side, dummy. And I know Melissa was probably wondering, what in the world is he doing? Because it turned to a little 2-lane road. And this was like really small now because I had to go like probably another 10, 15 minutes traveling just to be able to make a U-turn to come back and get back. Because there was no small driveways. There was no, it's like little bitty driveways. There was, it started to be residential areas and stuff. And I was like totally lost. So I knew where I was going, but at the same time, I didn't know where I was at.
Yeah.
Or I knew where I was supposed to be going, but wound up in a different place because I wasn't paying attention. Because something, this 18-wheeler, distracted me and allowed me to go on a different path. Now, that's something simple, but it took us about 30, 40 minutes to get back on track before we wound up going. So it's really hard, and just like the airplanes, they don't see the street signs from the highway, from the air. So they can't be guided that way.
True.
So, I know I say so a lot. But this is how sin gets here. Remember the book of Daniel. We read that. Went through it a couple times. And do you think that this book would be the same if Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, as known as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, would have bowed down to the king Nebuchadnezzar, if I said that right? Do you think the story would actually be the same?
No.
It would have changed. It could have changed so many different lives if they didn't have their boundaries of knew who they wouldn't cross. They knew who that guy was, and they said, I'm not bowing down to another king because I'm only bowing down to our king.
Amen.
So if they would have did what this king wanted to do because he was supposed to be glorified so much, the book wouldn't be the same.
True.
Now, would they still be in the book? Maybe. But they could be in the book as a lesson of something not to do.
Amen.
But we don't know. But we do. What we do know is that it definitely would have been changed forever. Which means everything we do has effect on somebody else. We never see it at that moment, at that time, but years and years and years go by. Because look, we still tell this, that story.
Yeah.
I just told it just now for a second. All the things that went on in history, things that we do with our families, things that we do with our kids, things that we do with our friends, will be told. Things that we tell now are something that we remember. If it didn't happen that way, you would be telling a different story, correct?
True.
Makes sense. So everything we do has a consequence from all our choices that we make.
Amen.
What we have to do is guard it. Remember when we were younger, some of us, when we were younger, and things were yes or no. It was black and white. Period.
Yeah.
It wasn't. But now, today, you look out, it's a slow fade. Black and white turns to gray. Things are willing to be compromised that wasn't compromised before. Standards are being changed. For what? The glory of the minute? The glory of the moment? But what about what happens tomorrow because of the choices we make today? Sometimes we fail to think and we don't remember who God is in our life because we're so willing to compromise. And I don't mean that in a bad way, like we're doing things on purpose, but when things come in, and I'm going to share it with y'all. Remember when you were younger? I know I said that, huh? These old vampire series or movies that used to come on. I don't know if you ever seen some of those. I'm talking years and years ago. Where, and this was before I even know who Jesus was or anything like that, I was watching. But there was something about it that always stuck to me. Is that there was always a kid in the movie, the son of the mom or whatever that this vampire was trying to get a hold of, was always trying to fight back. And he'd always go to these smart people, or they call him vampire killer at the time, or somebody who had knowledge of them. And what he told them was something that always stuck to me, is that vampires could not enter your home unless it was invited.
That's right.
But what, and bring it back in today, what is a vampire, what do you see that? It's darkness, right?
Yeah.
It's sinful. It's the same thing. Even though I didn't see it at that time of what it is I'm looking at, but they always told us, one kid always was the one who tried to do everything he can to stop. So how does sin get into our lives without? Because if Satan comes knocking on your door, he's wearing a red jumper suit, got a pitchfork, and the horns. You going to let him in and say, hey, come in. He wants to come in and destroy. You know his motive. You would slam the door in his face and wouldn't even give him a second chance. But that's not how it works now.
Amen.
That's not how he does. He comes in into our lives into the cute little convincing packages. And you could put in that package whatever it is that you want. Your temptation. Whatever it is that you want, and wrap it up with a pretty little bow, and how pretty it is. But that's how it comes. Because what he used to do in the show is he would be really nice to the neighbor. He'd be really neighborly. Mom would always welcome him, want to welcome him in because he's so nice, even good looking, you know. But how many times when things are really bad, they come in really ugly packages where it's so obvious of the result of what could happen? I'm not saying it doesn't happen, because there's obvious things that's right. It's like, really? What were you thinking? You saw it.
Amen.
But you still did it. But most of the time, that's not how it works. He comes in and he sneaks up on something that tempts you. Whatever your package is may not be yours. For me, when I was in the Army, all the guys and all used to always loving going to these clubs and drinking and smoking. That wasn't me. Even before I was really saved, that didn't bother me. Did I say it didn't do it? No. I'd be lying if I didn't. But that wasn't a temptation to me, so it wasn't never a trap. Now, Mardi Gras, that was a trap for me. Because I used to love it. Now, I wasn't all about going to get drunk and all that stuff. But there was just something about it that always appealed to me. So that was a temptation that always happened and a struggle that I always had. So it's not the same for everybody. But it's a slow fade. Black and white turns to gray. A price will be paid. So the question is, what are we compromising today that it can affect our tomorrow? Proverbs chapter 6 verse 27 says, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" Ouch. Yeah. You ever heard that saying, you play with fire, you're going to get burned?
Amen.
Can't prove it, but I kind of think that's where that came from.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, every time we play with fire, do you really get burned? Not always. But I promise you, you stink. We smell like smoke, knowing we've been around it.
Yeah.
And who wants to be around somebody that smells like smoke all the time? Especially if you don't smoke, huh?
Yeah.
Or if you're trying to hang around people or do the right things and you're mixing in a different kind of crowd, your smell's going to be different. Your vibe's going to be different. Matthew 6, verse 24 and 25. No one can serve two masters. Either will he hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the other one and despise the other. You cannot serve mammon and God. Period.
Amen.
That's black and white.
Amen.
There's no compromise there. And you kind of sometimes think, man, that's kind of harsh. But just think about it. When we serve in strictly God and really 100% giving our heart to Him, and when we make mistakes, we sin. I mean, I'm part of it. I make mistakes all the time. But are we practicing it? Do we do things wrong on purpose, knowing they're wrong? Well, nobody's going to see me. But what we forget, the ones that count is the ones that see us. The little feet behind us,
yeah.
Which could be anybody. It could be our kids. It could be our friends. Doesn't make a difference. But somebody's always watching us. I've always been told somebody's always watching you. And I believed it, but not really. Because if nobody's around, then who could be watching me? But I can tell you something really short. A while back, when I was living in Bayou Blue, they were doing some construction over by the overpass, and we had our fire station right there on the side. And they had all kind of wood and all kind of different things that were stored under the overpass from the parish or the city. Well, they had told us at the fire station that once they were finished with it, we could take some and use it or whatever we wanted. Okay, so one day I went over there and I was looking around, and before I could load it in my car, my fire chief calls me and said, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" He says, "What you doing at the station?" Now, he wasn't in like convicting me, but he was just letting me know it. I said, "How you know I'm here?" He said, "Oh, so such and such passed by and they called him and then he called me." I was like, "Wow." Now, it wasn't nothing I was taking or anything because we had permission, but the person who saw it didn't know we had permission. So he called somebody, then they called somebody, and before he knew it, got back to me. It's like, man, I was waiting for the cops to show up, like, you know? But that's just something simple to know somebody's always watching us.
Yeah.
So if we're saying we're somebody, then we just need to be somebody.
Amen.
Now, it's one thing to say, no, I ain't a Christian, I ain't even trying to be. Then it's known. But if you are trying to be, it's a struggle. We have trouble. We have downfalls. We have. But the question is, how much of this air is getting into the bag without our knowledge?
Amen.
And then it's full up, and we're like, how did I get there? Mm-hmm. It's just by little simple things here and there. I'm speaking to myself at the same time. And the third thing I want to share with you is in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but of the world. King James Version says very much closer to the same thing. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Now let me elaborate on this verse for a second. So I don't want us to misunderstand or mistaken the other verse in what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. And then this one, God says, do not love the world. We're talking about two completely different things here. God loved the world because He created it.
Amen.
He created us. He created everything in it. So it'd be kind of silly for Him to create us and then turn around and say, no one loves us. Right? So it's a maybe a different wording that it could have been said or something. But that's totally two different things. God loves the world He created. He don't really love the things that are in the world that was created.
Amen.
Meaning, He loves us, who we are. But the sins of the world is something that He doesn't love.
Amen.
The things that we do, He doesn't love. But there's grace, there's love, there's all kinds of forgiveness.
Amen.
For it.
Amen.
He will always love us. But when we love the sins of the world more than we love Him, then He's saying that our love for Him is not there.
Amen.
So let's not misunderstand what's being said. He loves us that He forgave us. He sent His only Son to die for us. So of course He loves us. Of course He loves the things that He created. But the things that we created in the world, He doesn't.
Amen.
But He loves us enough to send His Son to die so we can reunite that, have unity again with Him.
Amen.
But if we choose those things over Him, then what this scripture is saying is that our love for Him is not there.
Amen.
Make sense?
Yes.
Now in this video, the husband has been tempted from the lust of the flesh. Obvious, right? And possibly, as a result of that, the family unit became to disintegrate, fall apart. In dealing with it, whatever the son was going through. Now, that's not meaning that teenagers don't have issues, because we do, or we did. We all have our own kind of issues. But to look and see where something starts, it all plays a role. It all plays a part. And like I said earlier, in John 10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
He is preserving us to keep us where He wants us.
Amen.
But He also gave us that free will to choose to be preserved.
Amen.
It is up to us to continue what He's already given us.
Yeah.
Because who wants to be forced to do anything?
Yeah.
None of us, right? Nobody. So I've always been asked, well, why did God give us that free will? And the simplest answer I got to him is, okay, you love your wife, right? Yeah, and she loves you. Okay? Now, would you think it's the same if she was forced to love you? Well, I mean, she's got to bow down to you. Do you really think that's a genuine love on her part? Well, she might not know nothing else. Exactly. So how do you know she doesn't truly love you or just doing what she's made to do?
Yeah.
God gave us that free will and that choice to love him on our own. And he made the choice on his own to send his only son to die so we can love him on our own. It's so fascinating to me. So what are we doing that takes us away from his preservative? What has Satan wrapped up in a little cute pretty package, or it could be a big package, that keeps our focus off of Jesus? What does he tempt us with? Every one of us has a weakness. Remember, once we fall into temptation, what does Satan do to you? You were supposed to be a Christian. A Christian don't do that. Then what do? You fall, you depress, and you get more. And then he's laughing. He's laughing at us. So I told you were going to do it. But really? He only has the control we give him.
That's it.
Now, I know that's easier said than done. Because I fall a lot. I'm not that tall, so it don't take much. But the reality is, Satan only has the control that we give him. Because what? As we've heard and seen in Job, God is there. God protects us. Satan doesn't have certain dominion where he can take control of or do certain things. He only sees the physical. He can't see the spiritual part. So what we have inside, the unity that we have together, the unity we have with God, the unity we have with our family, he can't see that. That's why he keeps coming in and trying to distract us, as that show, with another pretty person. The physical part. But how long does that physical part last for the destination that turned it out could be forever and change the life of that whole family, or what that man could have become as a leader of God? The witness that he would have had. He puts us down and he kicks us while we're there, and he's saying, told you. So we got to just realize these games that he's playing and quit playing them. Quit playing. Allow him to be our preservative. More so than before. I mean, times are getting short.
Amen.
Days are coming. The scripture tells us that Jesus is coming back. So the question is, what do we want to be found doing when it happens? We want to be doing our work or his work?
Yes.
Now, I used to have a t-shirt a long time ago. It said, Jesus is coming. Hurry. Everybody look busy. I used to wear it all the time. I thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's just so what you could see him doing.
Yeah.
Not so he can see what I'm doing. Because he sees it all the time, whether
Amen.
We know it or not.
Amen.
Or we pay attention or not. So if we love him, we need to obey his commandments.
Amen.
How long does anything last if a preservative is not in it? Regardless of what it is. How long does something last if it's not preserved? The lifespan is short tremendously. Even like one of the first promises that God made is, kids, obey your parents. That's a promise that he gave, that you have a long and prosperous life. But when we disobey those things, now once you get older, it's a different kind of obeying. It turns in from obeying to an honorship. But what are we doing in our normal everyday lives that we don't see the simple tears in a bag that's seeping in a little by little? And I'm guilty of it because life happens. Things happen to us. But if we have that guardrail up that protects us and we know when it hits that boundary, gotta watch.
Amen.
Gotta watch. So you see, sin's not bad because God hates it. A lot of people think, I can't be a Christian because I got so many rules to follow, I got this and that. That's not the case. Sin's not bad because God hates it. God hates it because it's bad.
Amen.
We are the bride of Christ. He is coming to get his bride.
Amen.
He doesn't like us in turmoil and distress. So I want to encourage everyone, whether we're married, single, teenagers, allow God to preserve our lives. Let us resist these temptations and these games and these packages that Satan delivers to us. Because why? People never crumble in a day. Daddies never crumble in a day. Families never crumble in a day. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Father, Father up above is looking down on love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see.